This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, some spicy audio there from Mike Schilt. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods and Paul all together again here on a Thursday morning. And we've got a little more audio to play for you from after the game. But I first want to say, you know, we're going to have Mike Schilt on with the manager's report tomorrow. And this is difficult for me because I respect Mike. I think he's been really good for the San Diego Padres team. Clearly he's made a good impact on the Padres, you know, just the vibe, what we saw in spring training, and I think what we've seen through the first couple of months of the season, a tough schedule, got him with a winning record, in position where they need to be. He's done a good job as manager of the San Diego Padres.
Man, I agree. I agree 100%, Benny. And one thing I will say that we all need to remember, if you know your Padres history over the last few years, what is the manager of this team, no matter who it's been accused of? Every single year of, quote, losing the clubhouse. Mike Schilt has made it a clear priority that he's not going to do that. He's not going to lose the clubhouse. He's not going to question a 3-0 swing. He's not going to question, guy throws four balls, you know, in a 3-0 count swing. He's not going to question those things. He's going to ride with his players. I admire that about Mike Schilt, because if he's smart, he will do everything in his power to keep that clubhouse together. And I think so far, so good. And maybe to wear it in front of the media is actually part of his grand plan. The only thing is like, instead of going after the media, I think it would be fine if Mike Schilt said, no, it's every time. This would not bother me a bit. And you guys answer if it would bother you. Benny, you interview me after yesterday's game.
All right, Woods, you know, everything looked so good the first two games of the series. What happened yesterday? Why did the team look like they came out flat in the game?
That's on me. That is on me 100%. You know, I got to wear that one as the skipper. You know, ball found some holes, but, you know, no excuse for our approach yesterday. We got to do better. Period. The end. It's on me. That's it. You're done. Instead of, well, actually, you know, it's not really a roller coaster, and sign me up, and we have done this and all that. All those games are behind you. But the fact that he's not going to go out and roast his players doesn't really bother me that much, knowing what he knows, knowing that, you know, every manager that's been here in the last 6 years since we've been covering the team has lost that clubhouse.
No,
you cannot lose that clubhouse in June.
And I don't think A.J. Cassavell, who was asking those questions, and you know, we've known A.J. for a long time. He's a smart, savvy reporter who knows what he's doing. He's not
Yes. He's
not looking for he's not a gotcha guy. He's not looking to write some big, you know, takedown of Mike Schilt after the game, or even a takedown of the San Diego Padres. He's asking questions that need to be asked. And then, you know, Mike Schilt to me, the answer that Mike Schilt gave tried to make AJ look bad, when I don't think AJ was trying to make Mike Schilt looked bad, but Mike Schilt almost made AJ try to feel bad about his question that he was asking, which was a very legitimate question. As both a fan and as a reporter, someone who covers the team, that's the part that I'm having trouble with today.
Like, because nobody's sitting here saying you didn't win 7 out of 9 series or
that it was BS.
Not even that you're not playing good baseball. I mean, They've had a very up and down week, almost like a roller coaster, but I guess we don't use that analogy anymore. But like, you played very well in the first two games of the series, and all we've been asking for all season long, and Ben and I talked about it the entire last 2 days, was like, man, it's time to go on a run. It's time to win 6 in a row, 9 out of 12. You know what I mean? Like, it's time to get get some separation on your record.
And Paulie, by the way, even if they had just won 10 games in a row, then are in first place and ahead of the Dodgers, if you lose 9-1 in a game like that to the Marlins, the first question is, what the heck happened in that game?
Yes,
you guys have been
sure.
playing so well. I mean, what did you know, oversleep or something? Why did your team not play the way it had been playing the last 10 days?
Of course the world's not crashing down.
Of course. And I don't think AJ was suggesting the world was crashing down. Mike Shildt immediately went to rough patch. I don't think AJ said rough patch in his question. And, you know, there are some fans that...
It's the big leagues.
I can find his actual question, but I don't believe he said rough patch.
Yeah, I don't think he said. In the second question, when he tried to clarify, because he felt a little bit like he was being attacked for his question, he said roller coaster, and then Mike Shildt grabbed on that one and said, it's not a roller coaster. That, to me, is, you know, Mike Shildt is doing a good job. And he can own a couple of losses.
Just, I guess, to be fair, AJ did say rough
patches. Did he say rough patch?
This season when you guys have kind of hit some rough patches.
Okay, they have hit some rough patches this season.
They have hit some rough patches.
He didn't necessarily say that this was a rough patch.
Right.
And it's not. AJ knows one game is not a rough patch, but he knows that they've gone through some rough patches. And because they have, when you win 7 out of 9 series, you're only a 500 or one game above 500 team. The rough patches have kept the Padres, even though they've been consistent series winners, from really making any inroads in the standings, you know, to move up to where they want to be, which is, yeah, you know, 5-10 games above 500, not one game above 500. And the reason for that is because of the rough patches. Doesn't mean they're starting one yesterday, but it's possible that they're starting one with yesterday. And it is very much, to me, it's just a legitimate question by a reporter who knows what he's doing, has covered the team for many years, and is a really smart and reasonable guy covering the team. So I felt like Mike's reaction was a little over the top. Now, do I like that maybe he's just frustrated when his team loses and he gets a little... Gets in a, you know, angry, kind of smarmy mood and doesn't want to take it out of his team, so he takes it out on reporters. And you know, maybe that is the right thing to do. Maybe that's a better way to handle it than, going in a different direction and, you know, saying something to a player on his team. But I don't know. Just personally, I didn't like how he handled the post game yesterday.
Well, and you talked about earlier how you're a little uncomfortable now for tomorrow's interview, and that probably stems from this next piece of audio, this back and forth. This was after the back and forth with AJ Cassavell and Mike Shildt, Kevin Acey, and this was not on the television broadcast. I found this morning. Kevin Acey asked him, the question was, how hard is it to sweep a team?
It's hard. It's the big leagues. It's not easy. I mean, clearly we're ready to go out and to, you know, AJ's point, you know, continue to take off. And we didn't today. You know, their guy's pretty good, just come off a complete game, you know, threw the ball well. They had some good at-bats. You know, they made their plays, didn't play our best, and didn't win a game.
As you point out, these guys are human, right? So these games happen over the course of 162.
They just do.
So do you just, like, when this game happens, is there things that are addressed, like the, or...
What would we address? That's the part I don't – that's the part, like – and again, I don't want to be – I've admitted the game wasn't clean. I'm not alibiing it. The game was not clean. It wasn't our best effort. No question about it. What would also be nice if we had conversations about, hey, the team's playing well. They won 7 out of 9. This looks pretty good. You know, they played clean. Bullpen was good. You know, those kind of questions. So I don't know what I would address to a group that's playing really good baseball that just didn't have their best day. I don't know what to say to that. Today was not our best effort.
Right. That's an answer to my question.
Yes, sir.
Out because...
That's also a great point. Yeah, for me, it's not been, you know, a part of it. you know, it's been an outlier. And you're going to have outlier games, 162. And again, nobody in that clubhouse, including myself, is happy about it or will excuse it.
All right. I mean, again,
that's it. That's the answer. And you're done at that point. You're grabbing your bag and you're jumping on a plane to Kansas City after that. That's the answer.
You know, and Mike Schilt is a smart guy as well. But there was nothing wrong with what Kevin Acey was asking there either. And I guess part of it, if Kevin Acey wrote a column based on that question and said, you know, Mike Schilt, you know, his problem is he doesn't address things with his team. You know, he just lets things fester. And even though they won a series, they don't go for the sweep because he doesn't care. Now, if he said that, if Kevin Acey wrote that, Mike Schilt could absolutely legitimately be upset about the discourse about his team. Part of the job of being a reporter is you ask a ton of questions, and a lot of them don't even make this. Is now all these press conferences are carried live, so everyone hears the answer and gets to, you know, without any context, kind of hears it. And Mike Schilt knows that you can go on Twitter and just watch that news conference or listen to it here on 97.3 The Fan. It's everything is posted. But as a reporter, generally, maybe one out of every five or six answers actually goes into your story, and you have to ask a bunch of them, you know, otherwise you're just going to get, you know, generic quotes and you won't have anything to use. So you kind of keep asking questions the same different way to, you know, just see if you can get a good answer that you can work into your story. But until someone comes out, you know, whether it's us or a newspaper writer and goes, yeah, Mike Schilt is really dropping the ball here. This team should be way better, and they just continue to, you know, not take things seriously and not care, which I don't think is true. I'm not going to say it. I don't think A.J. Cassavell or Dennis Lynn or Kevin Acey is going to write that at this point with a team that has won 7 of 9 series and is a game above 500. Don't think Mike Schilt has anything real reason to complain about the questions about his team or the media, or even the fans, and how they react. Of course, no one's happy about that game yesterday. It was an ugly game. Well, people in the stands, 9-1. It sucked.
Look, man. End of the day, brilliant work by Mike Schilt. Because what are we spending an hour talking about? Talking about him talking to the media. We're not talking about the team's poor play. So again, I tend to lean on the side that he knows what he's doing. I think, you know, this is now guess whose fault it is. It's the media's fault. And now it's not the play on the field that we're sitting in here talking about. We're talking about the manager. And I think that that's part of some grand plan? Maybe, honestly, maybe. Like taking all the heat and accountability off of his players, putting it on himself without directly saying it's my fault. But what have we spent an hour talking about this morning? The media. The media, which is who we are. So I that game yesterday, again, it's a blip on the radar in a long season, certainly. But we've now spent, like I said, 1 hour talking about Mike Schilt and how he's dealing with the media so far, and not the team that is. It's hard for me to call them underperforming based on the amount of salary we cut, based on the moves that we had to make, based on the schedule that we've played so far, and based on some of the really good teams that we've played really well against. So at the end of the day, the players need to play better, and they are the ones that need to have the mentality of there's no way we're letting the Marlins beat us at home. We're not going to let anybody roll over us at home. They just don't have it yet. It hasn't shown up yet. Now, one thing we do know about Mike Schilt's teams, based on his history, they're finished stronger than they start, which is that's a good thing. We're hoping history continues in that trend. If it doesn't, that's a bigger problem. But I know it in my gut. I know it. I've heard it from people. He's not going to lose that clubhouse. Yeah, go ahead.
Just quickly, I'm just looking in the chat. Like Chris says, I don't have any problem with how Mike Schilt handled Kevin Acey. He and Dennis Lynn wrote pieces last fall that stirred the pot in the clubhouse. Do you not think that last year's team warranted some critical commentary and some really deep questioning about what was going on with a massive payroll and a team that was massively underperforming with real stories like coming out of the clubhouse going like, I mean, they were having team meetings every other week? That's legitimate reporting about a team that was going on last year. Now, I I haven't heard the same stories this year. You know,
me neither.
I don't. I don't think that there's been, you know, team meetings and stuff this year because I don't think they've been necessary, which means things are going better than they were last year. Mike Schilt has maybe got things on a better track, but no one has said otherwise. And just because you ask a question doesn't mean that you're not willing to accept an answer about that question and then move on. And I guess that's my point that I wanted to make.
The thing that stood out to me from all that press conference audio was it's a bit of a slippery slope, I think, for the manager, for any manager, not just Mike Schilt, but for any manager to kind of start to dictate how the media should act and ask their questions. I think that's a bold strategy, maybe. Like, you know, nobody's saying you didn't win 7 out of 9 series, but you can't.
But Paulie,
you
can't expect a strategy.
It is a strategy.
That's what I will die on that hill.
Bro, you lose 9-1. Like, you should be asked, "What the hell happened out there?" Not
sure.
You know, just disregard.
Well, that bullpen
is
still looking pretty good, though, right? I mean, no, it didn't look good yesterday either.
Hey, Fernando looked great on that almost double that he got thrown out at second base. But let's just focus on the positive swing, like. It's okay to ask tough questions, or not even those. They weren't even tough questions, but like when you get bodied 9-1, it doesn't have to be all sunshine and roses.
All right, we went a little long there, which is fine. It's an important and interesting conversation. So let's push back real or fake to our next hour. We'll do it at 8:10 because we got Don't Do This coming up next. Ultimately, one thing that Mike Schilt is right about: Padres keep winning series and keep. Even slowly staying above 500 all season long, they won't have a problem.
Yeah.
They will not have a problem.
Absolutely right.
Now, if they go to Kansas City and lose 3 in a row, all of a sudden, it's a rough patch. And, yeah, boy, it's too bad you didn't sweep the Marlins because then you could have gotten away with a bad game or two here or there. So we'll find out going forward. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, don't do this. And if things sound bad here in San Diego, wait until you hear what's going on. In New York, in Queens, with the Mets. That is coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. Got that Mets story coming up. First, though, I will start us off in the NFL. See how this one plays out. But we've seen athletes come back from a lot of bad behavior in the past. But one thing that people do not stand for is cruelty to animals. And Kansas City Chiefs defensive lineman Isaiah Bugs has been charged with two counts of cruelty to dogs in the second degree after the Tuscaloosa Police Department received a report and investigated two dogs that were left on the back porch of a home being rented by Bugs. Animal control found a gray and white pit bull and a black Rottweiler on a screened-in back porch with no access to food or water. Both dogs appeared malnourished and neglected. The residents appeared to be abandoned. Witnesses told police Bugs had recently moved from the house and apparently left the dogs. They were both seized by animal control, but the pit bull eventually had to be euthanized. Now, Bugs has responded through his lawyer, Woods, and he says that this is all a plot against him, a, quote, subversive campaign to force the closure of the hookah lounge he owns in Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
Which seems, I don't know what one has to do with the other, but maybe, you know, get enough bad PR going. Have you ever been to a hookah lounge, by the way?
I have not.
You have not?
I have.
You have. Paulie has. Yeah. What exactly is a hookah lounge? I mean, I can picture
lounge,
like smoking big pipes. You smoke hookah's a thing.
Yeah, it's like a giant thing. It's got several different.
Is it tobacco or is it some other product that they put in?
Yeah, it's like flavored tobacco. And
okay.
You can kind of choose which flavors you want. And
is it like fun to go?
You kind of sit around it and there's like different.
You share with other people the same hookah?
It's got like three or four different like mouthpieces or whatever. And yeah, you just sit
like so like there's a big central pot in the middle.
Yes.
And then there's little pipes that come out and everyone shares their.
Yeah, or pass it along and
pass around the hookah.
Yeah. It's a good night out. Fun
it's,
night out.
It's literally something
I haven't done it in
I've
a long,
never
long time.
Had any experience with and really know very little about hookah culture.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, me too.
It's not a whole lot different than sitting around and just drinking beers or something. I mean, it's just there's a hookah.
Except you're not all sharing the same beer.
You're not all sharing the same hookah. The ones that I remember, there was like, I think like three or four different little, whatever, mouthpieces to smoke from. And
well, we're missing the plot here. Obviously, you don't need to abuse dogs.
That's true.
And leave them behind when you move. And the Chiefs are having a banner offseason so far. Just couldn't do any better. And I'll switch gears here. There's one team in Major League Baseball that's probably ready for the offseason to get here, and it's probably the New York Mets. They are mired in a really nasty slump right now. They are not playing good baseball. They're 11 games under 500, and kind of all boiled over yesterday when their pitcher, Jorge Lopez, was ejected from the game by the third base umpire, which I thought was a little bit odd in and of itself.
Was he mad like on a check swing call or something? That was weird.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm looking right now at the video again. It checks. He says, he loses his mind, the third base umpire, and rings him, throws him. He throws his hands up, starts to walk off. He gets ejected and takes his glove and throws it into the stands. He's just kind of over it at that point. Well, after is when it really got spicy, when he was approached by the media. Paulie has the audio.
Carlos Mendoza said that he understands the emotion, but that particular action of throwing your glove into the stands was unacceptable. Looking back on it, do you regret doing that?
No, I don't regret it. I think I've been looking the worst team in probably in the whole MLB. So, you know, whatever happened. So, whatever they want to do, I'll be tomorrow here if they want me, you know, whatever they want to do. So, I'm going to keep doing this thing, you know, so I'm healthy on whatever, you know, on whatever to do, you know.
There was a lot of parsing out if he actually said this is the worst team in the whole effing MLB or calling himself the worst teammate in the whole effing MLB. So later they asked him to clarify if he indeed meant to call the Mets the worst team in baseball, and he said, yeah, probably, it looked like. So they asked him a couple times, and essentially he was saying, I'm the worst teammate on the worst team. So they asked him, like, multiple times to qualify. And again, you know, giving a little latitude that there was probably something lost in translation there, given a chance to repeat it, he did repeat it, and the word around the campfire, I don't know if he's been DFA'd already, but the reports were that he will be DFA'd today. Actually not having a terrible year for the Mets, but he'll be scapegoated today, and I think for good reason. I think you have to do that. Now, I did see this should be one of those instances where you're like, oh, well, yeah, it's cut and dry, man. You say that stuff, you throw your glove into the crowd. That can't happen. You guys are professionals. Then I literally saw Mets fans.
Why can't
tweeting,
you throw your glove into the crowd? I mean, it's not like he chucked it and injured someone.
Yeah.
I mean,
he just kind of flipped it into the
flipped
crowd.
It into the crowd. Someone gets a souvenir. You're frustrated. You walk off.
Worse.
I didn't think it was the worst thing I had ever seen. Getting thrown out by the third base umpire is weird, and clearly something's going on mentally with him. But I didn't think like throwing the glove was immediate cause for gotta kick the guy off the team.
Well, and then it came out that he said that he had not talked to manager Carlos Mendoza or David Stearns, and he actually had. So he wasn't really being truthful there, and then, of course, with his comments. Now, I did see Mets fans saying, well, it's nice that one guy on this team actually cares. and so that's the other way to look at it, I guess. I don't know that he's going to make or break the Mets season, certainly, but I think somebody's probably going to give him a shot.
I was going to ask, is that a career-ending move?
No,
to
I don't think
storm
so.
Off and get DFA'd because you threw a fit and comments in the locker room? Like, is another team going to be like, we can't bring this guy in?
No, I honestly, like, the Mets did him a huge favor by releasing him and letting him catch on somewhere else.
This all happens on the same day that the Mets play struggling closer Edwin Diaz, and Pete Alonso got hurt getting hit by pitch in the hand. So, I mean, just probably the worst day of the season for the New York Mets. And
Kiki says that'd be funny if he threw the glove and a fan caught it and kept it. That's exactly what happened. The guy did catch it, and he's keeping it. So pretty nice day at the yard for that fan. But, yeah, man, that stuff, you know, frustration boils over, certainly. But a lot of Met fans said, yeah, he's not the problem. Keep a guy like that. He actually cares.
All right, finally a little doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
And you probably saw the news yesterday out of Louisville, Kentucky, that charges were dropped against Scottie Scheffler related to the courtesy car incident before the second round of the PGA Championship a couple of weeks ago. You remember the story. He was pointed to go one way. He tried to get to the course through the traffic, and then another officer tried to stop him. You know, he said he was dragged to the ground, and, you know, his pants were ripped, and he was injured. Video came out, didn't show any of that. And ultimately, after an investigation with no body camera footage of that, they dropped all the charges against Scottie Scheffler. I will just say that Scottie Scheffler, very classy, and releasing a statement on Instagram yesterday in which he said, I hold no ill will toward Officer Gillis, who was the arresting officer detective, wish to put this incident behind me and move on, and I hope he will do the same. The officer did respond in a statement thanking kind of Scotty for his class and said, I did actually get dragged and, you know, my pants were ruined. I was hurt, but I do understand now this was a misunderstanding, and they're both going separately. I guess it's probably the best outcome for this possible situation, and we'll see if anything else comes from it. But Scotty seemed to treat this very classy. Now, his lawyer was he was incensed. He was going, this is still outrageous, and did a whole news conference. But Scotty himself took the high road, and I always approve of taking the high road, Woods.
I know you do. I know you do.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
So you said something interesting earlier as we were talking about Mike Schilt, and you said, well, see what Mike has done. Now we've talked for an hour about just his reaction to the game and not the actual players involved and why they might have been struggling. Let's talk a little bit about the players. Let's talk about Manny Machado, who once again did some good things yesterday, but also did, you know, some things that weren't as good. And I will give you one of my big...
Bro, watching Manny Machado throw a ball away, just an actual E5 like that, it like took my breath away for a second. I was like, you just don't see that very often at all.
We'll talk about it coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 7th. The magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We'll have another four-pack of tickets to give away a little bit later in the program today, 2 weeks away from the San Diego County Fair. All right, I'm going to preview, since Woods is going to be able to join us remotely for the roundtable at 10 o'clock, I'm going to preview one of my key questions about Manny Machado coming up here after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So Woods, I actually kind of struggled last night trying to come up with the question I wanted to ask about Manny Machado, because I definitely thought we need to talk about Manny in the roundtable today. But how do I phrase this? If Mike Schilt was listening, what do I say that doesn't, you know, is not a loaded question about Manny Machado? Because if you just go like, you know, why is Manny Machado struggling? That's a loaded question. Because you can't just assume that he is struggling. Manny Machado is currently on an 8-game hitting streak and hitting about .320 during said 8-game hitting streak. He made one of the best defensive plays you'll ever see in the game yesterday. I mean, ever see. That maybe anybody else in baseball could possibly make that play. He also, as Pauly said, committed a jarring throwing error that you also never see from Manny Machado. And he looked so bad in one at-bat and swing that even you, like, commented on Twitter, like, oh, what did you say? Like,
looks lost.
How can someone who is hitting .320 on an 8-game hitting streak, is playing, you know, can make the defensive plays that no one else in baseball can make, can also be lost at the same time? So the question that I came up with is Manny any closer to breaking out of his season-long slump, or is he actually going the other way right now?
If you've watched him, you know, as closely as we have over the last few years, you know that even with an 8-game hitting streak and a brilliant defensive play, he's not himself. You know, he's not. He does not look healthy. He does not look good. He does not look like your four-hole hitter. He does not strike fear into the opponent right now batting in the four-hole. I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page right now. Surprisingly, his average exit velo is way up. I mean, it's
again,
the slider is
that's a good sign.
Red. And bat speed, which surprises me, is up. And that surprises me as well. It's at 86 right now, which is deep in the red. The hard hit percentage is deep in the red. That surprises me as well. So I know he's not right. If you've watched him play at his best, you know damn well he's not right at all. And, you know, I think it's fair to question, should he be batting in the cleanup spot? They had moved him down to five. I thought maybe that would help get him going, but nah, man, he's not right now. And again, anytime you say anything positive about Manny Machado, you're going to get railed for it. I don't really have much positive to say, other than that play he made yesterday was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So, you know, I do remember the article that came out after the season, after he got the surgery, saying he's not going to be ready until 2025, right? Fully healthy until 2025, as far as the elbow is concerned. We've all decided to scratch that and depend on him and think if he's out there, we need a better version of Manny Machado, certainly. And I think Manny would tell you the same thing. Here's what drives fans crazy. He doesn't panic. He's not a panicker. And he's never going to let you know that I'm panicked or I'm scuffling or I'm lost. People don't like that. And I, for one, wish that I had more of that in me, in my personal life, my professional life. I'm a panicker. I'm absolutely a panicker. We probably are all panickers. He's not, and I think it rubs people the wrong way.
You know, you kind of hit on it, but the numbers surrounding Manny Machado this year don't really make a lot of sense. Because the biggest issue right now is the lack of extra base hits and power. Eight-game hitting streak's great, but if they're all singles and it's always a one for four, you're not really doing a lot to contribute offensively to the team. Manny has not hit a home run since May 3rd. His isolated power number is 120, which is down about 80 points from last year. He's a good power hitter. So what do you need for power and extra base hit? Well, you need usually high bat speed, good exit velocity, and hitting a lot of balls hard, which he's doing.
Right.
So that doesn't make a lot of sense. You can't say Manny needs to work on, you know, hitting it harder. Well, he's actually hitting it harder, and he's among the best in the league. What Manny is doing poorly right now, what he has really completely changed this year, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the elbow or not. He's just hitting the ball on the ground. The angle of exit is way down, way more ground balls. When he gets the ball in the air, it's usually line drives, you know, that, you know, land in front of the outfielders, but he's not launching the ball. You know, he's not popping it up either generally, but he's just not launching the ball like he was. To me, that's, you know, maybe more of a, that could have to do with the injury, just because that's maybe a somewhat of a swing form, something that's just not quite clicked in for Manny. But honestly, the numbers that would cause you to really be concerned, bat speed down, he's not hitting the ball as hard, that would show that Manny can't come back from this, they're not there. Everything that you see really indicates that if Manny can just make one adjustment and find it, he should be Manny Machado again. But it's not happening. And it's been a long, for Manny, this has been a really long time to struggle. The longest extended slump of his career at this point.
Well, and you're seeing it in the chat right now, right? Okay, here's blowing bubbles, jogging to first. We loved when Manny hits a bomb and blowing bubbles. You know, this is where we start to nitpick, right? And, boy, we love it. We love it when Manny blows a bubble and makes a great play. We don't like it when Manny blows a bubble and throws one away. And I think that's an unfair – he is who he is. He's always going to be that guy. He does not change, ever. And so the narrative that he doesn't care or want to win is so effing stupid. It's so stupid. He's not Anthony Rendon. You cannot paint him as Anthony Rendon. That guy fights to get back on the field, probably to his team's detriment sometimes. So, again, it is.
Or certainly to his own detriment.
Or certainly to his own detriment, man. So I just, it drives me nuts that he doesn't care. The other day when Solano hit the bomb, he's the first dude out of the dugout, man. I hate that. I hate that. I think that's massively unfair. And to categorize him as a guy that doesn't care.
I mean, ultimately, does it matter? Well, you know, we don't know what's deep in Manny's heart and whether he really cares or not. We will never know. Only Manny will know. But ultimately, would you rather have a guy who cares or a guy who produces? I'd rather have a guy who produces. And Manny has always produced. He's not producing right now. That to me is much more of an issue than whether he cares or not. I agree with you. He's the same guy he's always been. He doesn't care more or less, you know, when he was the top two MVP a couple of years ago. It's not because he cared more 2 years ago. He was just producing more. And you know, you can criticize the bad throw. When you commit one error, and it's your first error since last August.
It's crazy.
You really can't criticize the guy's defense at all. Everyone's going to commit a couple of errors over the course of the year. Great. He had his one yesterday. It's not a sign of, you know, mental weakness or not caring that a baseball player is going to commit an error or two every season. That's, by the way, a sign that you're one of the best players who has ever played your position. The fact that it's only the one error that you've committed since last August. And I get he hasn't played third base every single day, but the guy doesn't commit errors. He makes plays like the one like yesterday. It's not a caring issue. He just needs to produce more. He needs to launch the ball in the air more. And if he does that, I think everything's going to take care of itself. But that is way easier said than done. You know, you can't just go up there and say, I'm going to hit the ball on a 30-degree angle this time instead of on a negative 4-degree angle. That's the tricky part of baseball. Caring more is not going to solve Manny's issues right now. He needs to get the ball in the air more, you know, and that's what's going to solve his issues. And you can't care the ball into the air. You really can't.
He's a lightning rod. He's always been a lightning rod. You know, I don't have a problem backing a guy that is going to probably go to the Hall of Fame. I don't have a problem backing that guy. I don't feel foolish backing him. You know, I really don't. It seems like an easy one for me. But again, like I obviously, I don't feel confident when he comes up to the plate either. I don't. I'm like biting my nails, like, oh God, please take a walk or whatever. But yeah, he's just not getting the job done right now. So I think, you know, moving him down, fine. Like, do whatever you, I don't care if he hits seventh. I'm not going to look at it and go, oh, you don't do that to a player of his caliber. Hell no. Absolutely not. You do what's best for the team. And if Manny in the seven hole right now is going to get him, better pitches to hit, I'm down for it. I think whatever you got to do. So I just think, yeah, he's got to produce more. He's the highest paid player on the team. I know he wants to win. I know that. Again, I think he should be producing a lot more than he is right now.
Also, if you're going to move him down in the order, again, who are you moving up in the order that you want to see batting fourth? Is it, you know, Donovan Solano / David Peralta on a platoon basis that's going to be batting fourth for the Padres?
No, I don't. I think, you know, there's a few things, and they've tried a few things. You know, Manny's batted fifth a couple of times. You know, I don't know that Crony's the answer in the four. I don't know that Jerkson's the answer in the four. That's the problem, is he's a click away from, and I don't want to say he's a click away from getting right again, because I haven't really seen much from him that lets me know he's on a good tear. He had a little bit of a streak there a couple of weeks ago where he was hitting the ball with authority to right field, and I was like, okay, he's definitely back. But then, man, it looks like he's slower to the baseball, slower to recognize. The defense, I'm really not worried about, you know, yesterday's game notwithstanding. I'm not too worried about the D. I'm worried about his bat, man. I'm really worried about it. And again, I don't want to blame his surgery. He's not going to blame his surgery. But who knows? Who knows what's going on with him right now? I have no idea. I know that he's got to produce. I know that if you're going to be in the four hole, you've got to produce. And we had opportunities yesterday, to tie that game up. And he missed a pitch that he has hammered 90% of the time in his career. And that was tough to watch.
I see Matthew in the chat says, people talking about Manny, but Tatis looks just as lost. I kind of disagree. I've liked, he was in a bad spot a week ago. The last couple of days, I've really liked his swings. He's hitting the ball hard. Again, he's not getting the total results out of it. And he got thrown out at second yesterday on a really nice play on a ball he absolutely smoked to left field. But Paulie brought up a point, and he looked up some of the numbers. So it's about June, and I didn't even realize this, but apparently this is actually Fernando Tatis Jr. gets hot in June like every year, and he just put up his splits for the month in his career. Hits .331 in June, .415 OBP, .655 slugging. He's not actually that far off of his numbers in the first couple of months of the year. He's just a little down. This is when he usually gets really hot over the course of the season. His June OPS is by far his best of the year.
Somebody in the chat earlier said, hey, you know, I'm looking forward to June Fernando. And I thought, wait, that's right. It's June or July or something. Like, he always, like, goes crazy. And it was, in fact, June. It's not even really close. Like, his next high, just as far as batting average goes, his next highest month is July, where he's batting .288. But he's batting .331 in the month of June in his career. He goes off every June. So that would be a great sign if he can get rolling.
And it does look to me like perhaps he's starting to get his swing locked in just in time for the month of June these last few days. So, I mean, you know, I don't know whether it'll happen or not, but I kind of have my fingers crossed that we are about to see a Fernando Tatis Jr. really good month that comes up. And that would be That would be huge for the Padres right now, because it's the one thing they've been missing. You don't need both Fernando and Manny to be red hot all the time at the same time, but you need one of them at least to get going here pretty soon, because you're not going to survive all season long with both guys performing well below their career numbers.
No, you need. I mean, honestly, I'm amazed that we're a game over 500 with neither of those guys really producing the way that they should. But I just think if one of those guys gets going, it will inspire the other one. I really do. But I'm seeing a lot of armchair body language experts as well. I don't know, man. People react different ways to different things.
All right, we'll come back. We've got 2 hours to go. We delayed our game of real or fake, but we'll try to qualify for someone for Las Vegas in our next segment and more coming up. Eno is well ahead on 97.3 The Fan. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair, opening June 7th. The magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. We'll have another 4-pack of tickets to give away a little bit later in the program today, 2 weeks away from the San Diego County Fair. All right, I'm going to preview, since Woods is going to be able to join us remotely for the roundtable at 10 o'clock, I'm going to preview one of my key questions about Manny Machado coming up here after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So, Woods, I actually kind of struggled last night trying to come up with the question I wanted to ask about Manny Machado, because I definitely thought we need to talk about Manny in the roundtable today. But how do I phrase this? If Mike Schilt was listening, what do I say that doesn't, you know, is not a loaded question about Manny Machado? Because if you just go like, you know, why is Manny Machado struggling? That's a loaded question, because you can't just assume that he is struggling. Manny Machado is currently on an 8-game hitting streak and hitting about .320 during said 8-game hitting streak. He made one of the best defensive plays you'll ever see in the game yesterday. I mean, ever see. That not maybe anybody else in baseball could possibly make that play. He also, as Paulie said, committed a jarring throwing error that you also never see from Manny Machado. And he looked so bad in one at-bat and swing that even you like commented on Twitter, like, oh, what did you say? Like,
looks lost.
How can someone who is hitting .320 on an 8-game hitting streak, is playing, you know, can make the defensive plays that no one else in baseball can make, can also be lost at the same time? So the question that I came up with is Manny any closer to breaking out of his season-long slump, or is he actually going the other way right now?
If you've watched him, you know, as closely as we have over the last few years, you know that even with an 8-game hitting streak and a brilliant defensive play, he's not himself. You know, he's not. He does not look healthy. He does not look good. He does not look like your 4-hole hitter. He does not strike fear into the opponent right now batting in the 4-hole. I'm looking at his Baseball Savant page right now. Surprisingly, his average exit velo is way up. I mean, it's
again,
the slider is
that's a good sign.
Red. And bat speed, which surprises me, is up, and that surprises me as well. It's at 86 right now, which is deep in the red. The hard hit percentage is deep in the red. That surprises me as well. So I know he's not right. If you've watched him play at his best, you know damn well he's not right at all. And, you know, I think it's fair to question, should he be batting in the cleanup spot? They had moved him down to 5. I thought maybe that would help get him going. But, nah, man, he's not right now. And, again, anytime you say anything positive about Manny Machado, you're going to get railed for it. I don't really have much positive to say other than that play he made yesterday was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So, you know, I do remember the article that came out after the season, after he got the surgery, saying he's not going to be ready until 2025, right? Fully healthy until 2025, as far as the elbow's concerned. We've all decided to scratch that and depend on him and think if he's out there, we need a better version of Manny Machado, certainly. And I think Manny would tell you the same thing. Here's what drives fans crazy. He doesn't panic. He's not a panicker. And he's never going to let you know that I'm panicked or I'm scuffling or I'm lost. People don't like that. And I, for one, wish that I had more of that in me, in my personal life, my professional life. I'm a panicker. I'm absolutely a panicker. We probably are all panickers. He's not, and I think it rubs people the wrong way.
You know, you kind of hit on it, but the numbers surrounding Manny Machado this year don't really make a lot of sense, because the biggest issue right now is the lack of extra base hits and power. Eight-game hitting streak's great, but if they're all singles and it's always a one for four, you're not really doing a lot to contribute offensively to the team. Manny has not hit a home run since May 3rd. His isolated power number is 120, which is down about 80 points from last year. He's a good power hitter. So what do you need for power and extra base hit? Well, you need usually high bat speed, good exit velocity, and hitting a lot of balls hard, which he's doing.
Right.
So that doesn't
make sense.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. You can't say Manny needs to work on, you know, hitting it harder. Well, he's actually hitting it harder, and he's among the best in the league. What Manny is doing poorly right now, what he has really completely changed this year, and I don't know if it has anything to do with the elbow or not, he's just hitting the ball on the ground. The angle of exit is way down, way more ground balls. When he gets the ball in the air, it's usually line drives, you know, that, you know, land in front of the outfielders, but he's not launching the ball. You know, he's not popping it up either generally, but he's just not launching the ball like he was. To me, that's, you know, maybe more of a, that could have to do with the injury, just because that's maybe a somewhat of a swing form, something that's just not quite clicked in for Manny. But honestly, the numbers that would cause you to really be concerned: bat speed down, he's not hitting the ball as hard, that would show that Manny can't come back from this. They're not there. Everything that you see really indicates that if Manny can just make one adjustment and find it, he should be Manny Machado again. But it's not happening. And it's been a long, for Manny, this has been a really long time to struggle. The longest extended slump of his career at this point.
Well, so, and you're seeing it in the chat right now, right? Okay, here's blowing bubbles, jogging to first. We loved when Manny hits a bomb and blowing bubbles. You know, this is where we start to nitpick, right? And, boy, we love it. We love it when Manny blows a bubble and makes a great play. We don't like it when Manny blows a bubble and throws one away. And I think that's an unfair – he is who he is. He's always going to be that guy. He does not change, ever. And so the narrative that he doesn't care or want to win is so effing stupid. It's so stupid. He's not Anthony Rendon. You cannot paint him as Anthony Rendon. That guy fights to get back on the field, probably to his team's detriment sometimes. So again,
or certainly to his own detriment.
Or certainly to his own detriment, man. So I just, it drives me nuts that he doesn't care. The other day when Solano hit the bomb, he's the first dude out of the dugout, man. I hate that. I hate that. I think that's massively unfair. And to categorize him as a guy that doesn't care.
I mean, ultimately, does it matter? Well, you know, we don't know what's deep in Manny's heart and whether he really cares or not. We will never know. Only Manny will know. But ultimately, would you rather have a guy who cares or a guy who produces? I'd rather have a guy who produces. And Manny has always produced. He's not producing right now. That to me is much more of an issue than whether he cares or not. I agree with you. He's the same guy he's always been. He doesn't care more or less, you know, when he was the top two MVP a couple of years ago. It's not because he cared more 2 years ago. He was just producing more. And, you know, you can criticize the bad throw. When you commit one error, and it's your first error since last August,
it's crazy.
You really can't criticize the guy's defense at all. Everyone's going to commit a couple of errors over the course of the year. Great. He had his one yesterday. It's not a sign of, you know, mental weakness or not caring that a baseball player is going to commit an error or two every season. That's, by the way, a sign that you're one of the best players who has ever played your position. The fact that it's only the one error that you've committed since last August. And I get he hasn't played third base every single day, but the guy doesn't commit errors. He makes plays like the one like yesterday. it's not a carrying issue. He just needs to produce more. He needs to launch the ball in the air more. And if he does that, I think everything's going to take care of itself. But that is way easier said than done. You know, you can't just go up there and say, I'm going to hit the ball on a 30-degree angle this time instead of on a negative 4-degree angle. That's the tricky part of baseball. Caring more is not going to solve Manny's issues right now. He needs to get the ball in the air more, you know, and that's what's going to solve his issues. And you can't care the ball into the air. You really can't.
He's a lightning rod. He's always been a lightning rod. You know, I don't have a problem backing a guy that is going to probably go to the Hall of Fame. I don't have a problem backing that guy. I don't feel foolish backing him. You know, I really don't. It seems like an easy one for me. But again, like I don't feel confident when he comes up to the plate either. I don't. I'm like biting my nails, like, oh God, please take a walk or whatever. But yeah, he's just not getting the job done right now. So I think, you know, moving him down, fine. Like, do whatever you, I don't care if he hits seventh. I'm not going to look at it and go, oh, you don't do that to a player of his caliber. Hell no. Absolutely not. You do what's best for the team. And if Manny in the seven hole right now is going to get him, better pitches to hit, I'm down for it. I think whatever you got to do. So I just think, yeah, he's got to produce more. He's the highest paid player on the team. I know he wants to win. I know that. Again, I think he should be producing a lot more than he is right now.
Also, if you're going to move him down in the order, again, who are you moving up in the order that you want to see batting fourth? Is it, you know, Donovan Solano / David Peralta on a platoon basis that's going to be batting fourth for the Padres?
No, I don't. I think, you know, there's a few things, and they've tried a few things. You know, Manny's batted fifth a couple of times. You know, I don't know that Crony's the answer in the four. I don't know that Jerkson's the answer in the four. That's the problem, is he is just, he's a click away from, and I don't want to say he's a click away from getting right again, because I haven't really seen much from him that lets me know he's on a good tear. He had a little bit of a streak there, a couple of weeks ago, where he was hitting the ball with authority to right field, and I was like, okay, he's definitely back. But then, man, it looks like he's slower to the baseball, slower to recognize. The defense, I'm really not worried about. You know, yesterday's game notwithstanding, I'm not too worried about the D. I'm worried about his bat, man. I'm really worried about it. And again, I don't want to blame his surgery. He's not going to blame his surgery. But who knows? Who knows what's going on with him right now? I have no idea. I know that he's got to produce. I know that if you're going to be in the four hole, you've got to produce. And we had opportunities yesterday, to tie that game up. And he missed a pitch that he has hammered 90% of the time in his career, and that was tough to watch.
I see Matthew in the chat says, people talking about Manny, but Tatis looks just as lost. I kind of disagree. I've liked he was in a bad spot a week ago. The last couple of days, I've really liked his swings. He's hitting the ball hard. Again, he's not getting the total results out of it, and he got thrown out at second yesterday on a really nice play on a ball he absolutely smoked to left field. But Paulie brought up a point, and he looked up some of the numbers. So it's about June, and I didn't even realize this, but apparently this is actually Fernando Tatis Jr. gets hot in June like every year, and he just put up his splits for the month in his career. Hits .331 in June, .415 OBP, .655 slugging. He's not actually that far off of his numbers in the first couple of months of the year. He's just a little down. This is when he usually gets really hot over the course of the season. His June OPS is by far his best of the year.
Somebody in the chat earlier said, hey, you know, I'm looking forward to June Fernando. And I thought, wait, that's right. It's June or July or something. Like, he always, like, goes crazy. And it was, in fact, June. It's not even really close. Like, his next high, just as far as batting average goes, his next highest month is July, where he's batting .288, but he's batting .331 in the month of June in his career. He goes off every June. So that would be a great sign if he can get rolling.
And it does look to me like perhaps he's starting to get his swing locked in just in time for the month of June these last few days. So, I mean, you know, I don't know whether it'll happen or not, but I kind of have my fingers crossed that we are about to see a Fernando Tatis Jr. really good month that comes up, and that would be huge for the Padres right now, because it's the one thing they've been missing. You don't need both Fernando and Manny to be red hot all the time at the same time, but you need one of them at least to get going here pretty soon, because you're not going to survive all season long with both guys performing well below their career numbers.
No, you need. I mean, honestly, I'm amazed that we're a game over 500 with neither of those guys really producing the way that they should. But I just think if one of those guys gets going, it will inspire the other one. I really do. But I'm seeing a lot of armchair body language experts as well. I don't know, man. People react different ways to different things.
All right, we'll come back. We've got 2 hours to go. We delayed our game of real or fake, but we'll try to qualify for someone for Las Vegas in our next segment and more coming up. Eno is well ahead on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.